everybody. I'm your host, Claudia. Welcome to the Arizona Area Sponsorship Workshop. This workshop is hosted by the Arizona area of Al-Anon, and our intention is to make sponsorship more accessible and less mysterious to all Al-Anon members. We'll open with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The Al-Anon Family Groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness and the changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution, does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. I've asked Lucy to read a portion of the bookmark sponsorship, Working Together to Recover, M78. Go ahead, Lucy.
Sponsorship is a relationship built on equality, anonymity, and trust. An important opportunity for growth for both the sponsee and the sponsor. A benefit at any stage of recovery. A commitment to practice healthy communication, not based on intimidation or demands. An agreement to recover and grow together, not to struggle in isolation. An opportunity for self-discovery, not a teacher-pupil relationship. An experience based on unconditional love, not shame or judgment. A spiritual relationship with no strings attached. A one-to-one relationship, not an exclusive club. A bond focused on Al-Anon's four primary ideas. We are powerless over the problem of alcoholism. We can turn our lives over to a power greater than ourselves. We need to change both our attitude and our actions. We keep Al-Anon's gifts by sharing them with others.
Thank you so much, Lucy. We will be exploring segment 7, panel shares and discussion on steps 10, 11, and 12. We're going to be talking about techniques for working these steps and the literature used. We will now hear from our speakers. They are Julie, Terry T, Terry M, Diane, Jen, and Cherie.
Good evening. Thank you for this opportunity to grow. This is a little challenging for me, not a format that I'm comfortable with, but I feel like I'm with a whole lot of experts and I've had to work around it. I chose to participate in this workshop in the sessions because I wanted to know what being a sponsor was all about. I have not been a sponsor. My only experience is with the one sponsor I have, and it's been a valuable experience, but this was to see how I could grow and learn in case that opportunity would open up for myself. So I don't have sharing for what I've done with others, but I can share my experience with my sponsor that I've had. So I was in Al-Anon about 3 years before I chose to get a sponsor. I did went to the meetings and I did the daily readings and all that, but I was just such a mess, a hot mess, that I didn't really think I could actually tell somebody all that had been going on. And so the wonderful part about those 3 years was that's the way I needed to do it. But the program gave me such, you know, just working as I was able to work it, gave me such strength and hope, that shortly after that third year, my oldest son died of alcoholism at 32 years old. And because I had been in the program, I was able to have a loving and respectful relationship with him. So Al-Anon, I can't even possibly explain how this program reconnected me with God and helped me through that loss that was just what it was. It was to alcoholism. He's not the first in I grew up in it, in my family of origin. And then I married someone who was, the first husband was, and then both of my sons were, and then the second husband was. So I have a lot of experience in chaos and just all of the stuff that we come in with. So it's taken me a long time to process all this, but day by day and with the help of my sponsor and working with this, it's worked out. So I would like to say with step 10, for myself, did make a couple notes, continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. These are kind of the maintenance steps, 10, 11, and 12, and such a great one for me to reflect on how I'm doing, what's going on. Stay there, you know, because I am so in a wonderful place in my life, and I don't want to lose this. And I know it's because of my daily constant contact with God and how I work this program that makes that. And I can't afford to go where I was before. It's indescribable, and I'm not willing to do that. When we say at the end of the meeting, keep coming back. It works if you work it and you're worth it. That is, I need to be the poster child for that one, because I knew that made sense, and so I just keep working it. I didn't know I was worth it, but I do now, but I kept on working it. So 10 helps me, and I don't reflect on it at night. I need to go to bed peacefully, so I do fall asleep with gratitude, just going over what either gratitude of the day or whatever it is I can grab onto. I can't, for my mind, if I start looking at what wasn't working, that'll just stay all night long or go places that I can't risk doing that. But in the morning when I get into my step 11, the first thing I do is take a personal inventory of how that day went. And I usually ask myself to find two good things that I did. What was good about yesterday, so that I can see my growth right off, you know, how I'm doing with it. And then I'll take try to look at the day, and I'll try to find for myself. I don't need to have a whole lot of things. I can think of them, but I'll take one in particular that I'll think about in the day where I need to look at my behavior and if what I need to do about it, you know, is it something I need to pray about, something I need to take amends for. And often in that, I've taken up journaling my reflections on this so that I can see if I have a pattern. Do I have a pattern of things I'm doing? Is this kind of coming up? So I've kind of got that in a separate place. And what I do with that is I share that with my sponsor time to time. So when I'm reflecting and I'm noticing, hey, this just keeps showing up, I will have that dialogue with her. So that helps me. And then we start talking about the whole thing about 10, 11, 12 is really going deeper. I was only able to go across the surface the first time through the steps because I couldn't feel. I was numb. I was grieving. I was a mess. But I was working into it. But now everything when we get to this point is she's always saying to me, well, what does that mean? What's really underneath of that? And she really pulls me to looking at deeper into those patterns that I'm doing. And where can we go with that? Is there literature I could read? Is there something she and I should do? Is there an amends or whatever? So it's that constant, you know, looking at those things in myself with step 10. And 11 has been non-negotiable. I will not start my day without God. I won't go anywhere. I will get up earlier. I will do whatever I have to do. But I will sit down in my little chair, my comfortable chair with all my material, and I will get in contact with God. I might not be able to read, because I'll read that one day at a time, The Courage to Change, and Hope for Today every day. If I have the length of time, I will go through those books. If I don't, I will sit there. I have to sit down and talk about my day with God. And I will do that. It's not negotiable. I cannot function without making that contact. That's like at the end, after I've done all my readings and I've reflected and prayed and meditated, and as long, I did it as long as I can. I don't say 15 minutes, you're done, or 30, you're done. 15, 5, you know, 10 or 15 was years ago. Now, it 30 minutes is nothing. And I love it if I have an hour. And I just keep on going with that reflection. But I always end it with asking God's help for my day. And so I don't dictate that to him. I just ask him, please, dear God, these are the things that are going to be coming in today. And I need your help. And I'll just lay that out there. And I don't put a lot, I've learned that my information is not so hot. So I just ask for that. But that strengthens me. And I trust God. And it gives me the courage to get up and face that day because I have prayed and asked for and listened. And, you know, wouldn't you know, a little bit later, something will come flying in. And I'm like, oh, well, that's a good idea. Anyway, I ask for that prayer, and that's what it does. If I still have more time after I've done the three daily times, I'll stop in the middle of it, and I'll pray, or reflect, I'll journal. I don't read all the way through it. It's just kind of something will jump up, and I'll work with it. But I have other things there to read. My home group likes to laugh about me in the forum. Because I'm always quoting for it and showing it up. My favorite one was the one a couple months ago that it said, after the excitement came the chaos. I was like, who was at my house? That's my story. You know, and so I'm always quoting for, I love the forum. What I love about the forum is that it often talks about literature that relates to people or a theme that they have. And then I go by that, you know, and so I love that. It introduces me to literature. When I read it and it resonates with me, then I'll order more. So I always have something I can read, or if I'm working on something with my sponsor, I can go back to Paths to Recovery or something. So I really get, I have to do that. That's my workout. That's my breathing, my eating, is my spiritual connection with God. It's the best thing ever. It makes it all work, however it's going to work, but it's divine to work with him every single day. So, it's just not negotiable. And fortunately for me, I mean, my sponsor is a model to this as well. She does the same thing. So we have such beautiful conversations because she's so deeply spiritual and has been doing it quite some time. So I just, when I talk to her, I feel like I'm talking to my heart. And it's just such a divine connection that we have with one another and looking at ourselves and our lives and our relationship with God. Step 12, okay, I did set a timer here and then it went away. In step 12, for the having a spiritual awakening, for me it was a gradual thing. I had a relationship with God, I believe, as a young person. And then when the chaos of the alcohol became greater and greater, there was no God, I was in total darkness. And through the grace of this program connecting me back with God, something that I always knew and always wanted, a gradual, you know, light came back on in my life, and the connectedness to God is there. And that's what guides everything that I do. With this program, I mean, it's God in the program and me working all the time. With step 12, that I share it everywhere I go, really. It's me. If I'm in a situation, I can see chaos because I've learned what peace and serenity are because of the program. So if people start acting like that or I start hearing things, I can bring myself back, but it's because I practice this program all the time. I ask God to keep me out of trouble, you know, and to guide me. And so when I can see that, I don't need to be there. I don't have to give my 2 cents worth anymore. I don't have to take care of people like I did. I don't do that anymore. And I can see it. So the program is working it, and it's making it better and better every day for me. So it works in everything that I do. I don't want to be where I was. I don't want to feel like that again, ever. So I just try to continue to do my best. I think where I practice it in all my affairs, Absolutely. I try my very, very best. I do have to go to step 10 and look at it now and then. But I do give it my very conscious best. I think the difference is that I feel like I have consciousness now. I was literally unconscious for that several decades. And so it's the consciousness. I make the choice to connect with God, and then I make the choice to use these principles in all my affairs. And I know that my relationships are better, how I behave, and, you know, how I solve problems is just so much better because of it. So, just as life would have it, today I retired from 45 years as an educator. This was my very last day. So one of the things before all this other stuff happened was like, well, what are you going to do, you know? And it was travel. And so lo and behold, and I have grandchildren, family, it's everything. I am so blessed. This program has helped me so much that I am joyful going into this next phase. And it is because God has supported me, because I used to have to be busy because I didn't want to feel anything. And letting go of these other people and all their admiration and all their stuff and just being me is so exciting. I didn't want to be me before because I didn't like me before, but now I'm in a different place and I'm joyful. And I did want to say one thing that jumped out that was really, really stood out. So here I say I want to travel and everybody's asking me. And one of the things in studying and learning and the honor of doing this evening was that it said, that I read that Al-Anon is my passport to a better life. And I just got to get that sign made for myself when I saw that. So anyway, thank you all for listening. Bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie, for sharing with us, and congratulations to you. So we're next going to hear from Terry T.
Well, hi. Got to get my glasses on so I can read my notes. I'm Terry T. from Juneau, Alaska, and I am a grateful member of Al-Anon. My home group is the Tuesday Noon Serenity AFG in Juneau. And I really want to thank the Alaska members for asking me to participate and to share in this workshop, and to thank everyone in Arizona who's worked on putting these workshops together. They're quite wonderful. So thank you. I just want to say that my favorite CAL that I've personally used and that I use with my sponsees is Paths to Recovery, Reaching for Personal Freedom. Those are really helpful workbooks for working the steps. And I also like to use the forum articles on the steps. Every month they have, here's a meeting on step and whatever the month is. And our daily readers always have excellent readings on the steps, as well as the Just for Tonight bookmark. Before I talk about the steps, I want to say how much I appreciate it, that there's no one way to, quote, work the steps. And at first this was kind of frustrating for me because I just wanted it to be easy and have someone say, here, this is how you work it, you know, just do ABC, 1, 2, 3, X, Y, Z. But as you guys all know, that's not how the steps work. And everybody learns differently, and everybody gets to work the steps whatever way works best for them. I like workbooks, but some of my sponsees are not workbook types. Some like to write and some don't. I also really appreciate group discussions and working through the questions in the workbook in a small group format. That has always worked really well for me. And I was very fortunate many years ago when I was pretty new in Al-Anon to attend a really good, what was referred to, kick butt four-step meeting. And I'm sorry there aren't more meetings like that for more of the steps. And unfortunately, that meeting is no longer. But it was there for me when I needed it, and it kicked my butt. So steps 10, 11, and 12, they are sometimes – oops, I forgot to start my timer. They're sometimes referred to as the maintenance steps. They help me to be honest and to stay on my side of the street, to be my best self, to be the person that I want to be. And the previous 9 steps all prepared me for these next 3 steps. I'm just going to adjust this timer a little bit. Okay. So step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. I really love this step, and I use it quite often. I know when one of my character defects has jumped the fence, and if I'm trying to control, when I'm dishonest with myself and others, when I'm not speaking my truth, I start to have feelings of resentment and anger, and I stuff my feelings. And I've heard it said that I cannot be in serenity and resentment at the same time. And that's, I found that to be quite true. So when I start feeling or recognizing these conditions now, when I feel these, I know what I can do about it. And I don't have to spend hours or days or nights being racked by guilt over something I said or how I behaved. And I know I can make amends promptly. And then I can get a good night's sleep. And I know it, I mean, I may make it sound easy, and often it is, but sometimes it's not easy because sometimes I'm dealing with a really difficult person, a difficult, sticky situation. And when that's the case, I'm fortunate because I know I have tools and I can call my sponsor. I can call an Al-Anon friend. I have solutions now. I don't have to be stuck. And I like to think of this step as, I'm done with guilt and shame now. And I talk with my sponsees a lot about what a relief it is to be able to do this step. Because I didn't want to think about the hours and the wasted hours and days and nights that I spent on the guilt and shame because I didn't know how to make amends before I got into this program. I would say I was sorry, but that's not the same. One of the tools I use is the acronym THINK. Is it thoughtful, honest, intelligent, necessary? Is it kind? I try to think about that before I open my mouth. They say that every year you're in Al-Anon, that gives you a second before you open your mouth. And so now I have about 15 seconds. And that you can think a lot of things in 15 seconds, and I can think. And if I say something that doesn't measure up to this acronym, then I can promptly admit it. And so that word necessary can trip me up. And a tool that helps me with that is one of my favorite slogans, which is, how important is it? I learned that pretty early in the program, and I use it a lot. And I can start to say something, and when I think about necessary, I can also think about how important is it? And quite often, it's not important, and it's much easier for me to let things go. It's a very welcoming step. This step is a solution step. And I try to remind my sponsees that it's an opportunity to treat ourselves with compassion and love. It's not meant to beat ourselves up. One of the results that I find, and I think my sponsees also find, is that I gain more self-esteem and self-respect and honesty. And this step asked me to give up denial and be honest with myself and be honest with others. I also receive the gift of other people's forgiveness. In step 11, it's a big step, sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. There's a lot in this step. And the first three steps really prepared me a lot for step 11. And by the time I get to step 11, I found that I really wanted to do step 11. I want to improve my conscious contact with my higher power. So I don't have an issue with that. It's a really, like 11, it's like 10, it's a very welcoming step. A lot of my work with sponsees is talking about what is prayer and what is meditation. I've read and heard it said that prayer is talking to God, meditation is listening to God, and the distinction between talking to God and asking God for things I want to control, that's It's two different things, asking and talking. So I need to ask for guidance and help, and that's under prayer, and not pray for outcomes, specific outcomes. And understanding that difference is really helpful and I think critical to understanding this step, that difference between asking for outcomes or just asking for help. And that's what I learned in Al-Anon, is that I can ask for help. Meditation or listening for this guidance is more elusive. I still sometimes wonder, you know, what is his knowledge? What is that knowledge? Have I received that knowledge? So I have to take time each day, and several times a day sometimes it's helpful to listen, to stop, meditate, listen for my higher power's guidance. And it takes practice. All the steps take practice, and it's like anything. The first time I try, do something new, I'm not going to be very good at it. But if I keep practicing, little by little, I'll get better. And one of the ways I try to do this, and I share this with my sponsees, is to thank my higher power for the little things. Just start with the little everyday things that I'm grateful for. This time of year, there's a new flower that's popped out, just started blooming, a neighbor smiling at me, a parking space opens up when I'm trying to find a place to put the car, or it's raining outside, so good, I can feel comfortable sitting inside without distractions to figure out what I'm going to say at the sponsorship workshop tonight. Whatever it is, it can just be a little thing, and if I start acknowledging these little things, that's my practice, and that practice gets easier and easier and becomes a habit. And if I can replace my not such great habits like self-doubt and negative thinking with these good habits, I become a healthier me. The tool of gratitude is very powerful and easy to do, and it's part of this step. And I ask my sponsees to make a list every night or every morning of three things they're grateful for. And then every week I increase it by a few more things. And I often ask them to take the alphabet and apply gratitude to that. Go through the alphabet, start with each letter pick something you're grateful for that starts with that letter. It can really soothe me when I'm not able to sleep, when my life is in chaos. I can stop and think of all the things I'm grateful for. And there's a lot of things. And they're not big things. But it's doing these little things that I start understanding what my higher power's will is for me. Let's see. And I can ask for his help. Help me carry these things out. So prayer and meditation, wonderful tools of the Al-Anon program. Step 12, spiritual awakening. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. To me, there's three distinct parts of this step. And first is the spiritual awakening. So I discuss, what is a spiritual awakening? And how do we know we've had one? Like many aspects of the Al-Anon program, it can be different for everybody. Some members have, distinct, really intense experiences or an incident. It may be dramatic and really obvious. But for many of us, it's a culmination of many small, almost insignificant experiences before we realize that we've had a spiritual awakening. So for me, I kind of define a spiritual awakening as an awareness or an experience where I am prepared to receive and embrace and to grow with my higher power's help. So talking about this, just talking about it helps with that awareness. Because I wasn't really aware that I was having spiritual awakening. And once again, that tool of gratitude in combination with the Serenity Prayer has been the most helpful to me. Every day I say the Serenity Prayer, and I add some time to reflect on what I'm grateful for. And I ask for compassion for my loved ones, compassion for myself, and then I ask for patience with the changes in my life and acknowledge that they're going to take time. And that whole prayer that I say brings me to that space of being able to receive and acknowledge and be aware of a spiritual awakening. Being able to listen to my HP's hand in my life, be it big or small, you know, spiritual awakenings have come in all kinds of sizes. But they come through step 11, through my prayer and meditation. The second part of step 12 is about sharing our gifts of recovery. I've heard for years that in order to keep it, my Al-Anon program, I need to give it away. So this step is about service and outreach. I do everything I can to welcome newcomers to my meetings, volunteer to take literature to places. I also know that I can lead by example, and that when I'm asked to do service, I try to say yes, and service can look like all kinds of things. And there's usually some kind of outreach aspect to every service position. So I encourage my sponsees to participate in service. Service, service. Service will grow your program. And we talk about what feels most comfortable for each of us regarding outreach and regarding service, because it's different for everybody. And the last part is step 12, to practice these principles in all our affairs. It's talking about my new spiritual life. Now when I'm being my best self, I'm a mature individual. I have a mature life, which is reflected in all aspects of my life. We read and we talk about the spiritual principles. What are the spiritual principles? There's a lot of different ones. As a delegate, I really appreciate and feel one of my biggest gifts was learning more about spiritual principles and how they apply to our three legacies, and that they're all over in the service manual. I'll just briefly touch on a few of them because I'm running out of time. But respect, I need to treat people the same way I want to be treated and learn to listen carefully and treat everyone with dignity. Trust and faith, these two principles go together for me. My first sponsor taught me about trusting again. And I think the sponsor-sponsee relationship, this is a huge advantage of having a sponsor. So many of us, we come into the program and trust has been broken time and time again, so it's really hard to trust somebody. And that was with my first sponsor that I learned to trust again. And in trusting her, I learned to regain trust in myself, which I had also lost besides trust in others. And then faith. I could have faith again because I could trust again. Integrity. Honesty and trust, there's that word trust again. It's a foundation for building relationships. And we learn this in our sponsor-sponsee relationships. We learn how to build a healthy relationship with other people, people that can be trustworthy. Humility, honest appraisal of myself, less preoccupied with myself, reaching out to help others, responsibility, feeling my commitments. It's okay to say no. I need to be responsible to me. Unity, I'm open to seeing the other side, other people's perceptions and opinions. I don't have to be right all the time. It doesn't have to be my way. And participation, one of my favorites, the key to harmony, involves cooperation, working well with others, accepting others' leaderships, and presume goodwill, compassion, generosity. I could go on and on. Anyway, I want to put in one more plug for the Just for Tonight bookmark. It's one of my favorites, and with that, I'll say thank you very much for this time.
Thank you, Terry. Thanks for sharing with us tonight. And our next speaker will be Terry M.
Hi, everybody. Hey, I want to thank you, Terry and Julie. I think her name is Julie, right? For your sharing. A lot of the things that you spoke about were things I was in some of my little notes here, too, which is great. I love it that we have a similar theme, and yet we all get to do it differently. And thank you for the invite, Claudia. It's been a long time, that's for sure. and the friendly faces that I've seen here, people I know. One of the things I want to talk about, you know, is the fact that I don't work those 10, 11, 12 on a regular basis with my sponsor today. I've been in a long time, and I think it's not the desperate place I was in when I first came in. I think this has actually changed who I am, and this is my go-to place when my brain works. It really is a changed me, and it's really a miracle. I have to really think back what it was like when I first came in. And I was, like I said, I was really desperate, so all I wanted to do was get him sober, and that later became, you know, I needed to help myself. I did a lot of faking it in the beginning, a lot of faking it and trying to figure out how this was going to work for me. It's been a very slow, evolving process, and I think it's continuing to be an evolving process. One of the things I recognize my sponsor today, I've had several over the years, you know, one I had just because I thought I needed to have one. And today I have a sponsor that I truly work with and love. But we have very, very different ideas on a higher power and what that looks like. And she allows me the freedom to, it has to be that way. If I didn't have the freedom to find the higher power that I could understand, how it works for me, this would never work. I would have left right away. If you told me, if I thought for 1 minute it was going to be a whole God thing, I would have walked out. And I just keep thinking, I needed all of that stuff to get where I am today. I didn't arrive one day and say, oh, I'm on step 10. But I will say, in the beginning, I did a lot of different things. I remember there was a fourth step that we had, a little blue book. I don't think they even make it any now. It's grown up into a bigger book now. But actually, in the beginning, we did workshops out of the big book. And that's where I got my first, fourth, and fifth step and worked through the rest of the steps. That doesn't apply to me today. Those tools don't work for me today. But they were there then, and it was what I needed at the time. I heard you, the speakers before me, talk about the forum. It's one of the tools I continue to use. I love it. I look forward to it. Every month that we come in, I know I'm going to be talking about a different step, a different tradition, a different concept. And I love the stories that go in there. I did do a workshop with, I was part of a workshop when we used Path to Recovery. Oh, I forgot to start my timer too. Shoot. Sorry. Okay. But, you know, this whole thing has never been a straight, what else? I had down there, I love Al-Anon, how Al-Anon works. And I wish we would spend more and more time reading that book. That book is just so, and the Daily Readers. I think those are the things that kept the 10, 11, 12 in my mind after I got to a point where I was more comfortable. I wasn't in so much pain. And I've heard it said, you know, that these are the maintenance steps. I think of it like in the beginning, this was some years ago, when the car would start making noise, you know, I mean, every part of my life shows up in every part of my life. I mean, the car would start making a knocking noise, and I was convinced it was just my imagination. So I learned I had to start taking care of things as they came up. And that's what 10 is for me today. Sometimes I'm embarrassed how long it took me to get to the point where I was doing my daily maintenance, or not even my daily maintenance, my maintenance, because the inner voice that I have, I can't ignore it anymore. It gets loud, and it gets loud fast, and I have the tools. I don't have to live that way. One of the things I was thinking about is when we're doing our personal inventories, it's really good to remember those things that worked well. And I had a recent experience, and that's why I'm bringing this one up, because it's the most recent in my mind. And it was a couple weeks ago, last Saturday. I was at my home meeting, and I had a guest speaker come. And my group is very small. And she brought a bunch of her friends. And so we had a people from the West Coast joining the middle of the country here. And I looked at one of the members that is in my home group, and she, when she first came in, she would talk a lot and she would cry a lot. And what I'm noticing is that she's listening more, and I'm seeing her presence, the way she's taking care of herself, change. The reason I bring this up is because that, you know, that catalyst or whatever it was, part of my daily routine to get the speaker to come to the meeting, and it, my heart just swells, and that's something I think I need to remember in my 10th step too. I mean, remember my personal inventories. And then on the other hand, I've got two daughters who don't get along very well, and I got into it. I mean, I got into it. I didn't like it that they weren't getting along too well, and I stuck my nose into it, and I, you know, was telling my youngest how I thought she should behave. The funny thing about this is I've talked about this in my home group and with my sponsor, but one of the things that happened is there was an article that came out in the forum about a mother who had two daughters who were not getting along together, and I brought it to my meeting, and I said, look, you guys, I did not write this, but it was exactly my story. I was talked about, and what we're talking about today is when I don't take care of myself and I don't look at this behavior. You know, when I'm into my judgment, and it happens to me, I'm the one that gets hurt. And when I'm into my resentment, I'm the one that gets hurt again. And my isolation and my anxiety, those are the things, but I don't have to stay there today. I don't have to live in that kind of a place anymore, and I'm so grateful for that. And step 11, when we talk about the prayer meditation, this one's a tricky one for me because I think in the very beginning when I first came into the meetings, I was in so much pain. And what I would do is I would chant the Serenity Prayer, and I would chant Let Go and Let God. And to me, the step 11 is very connected to the Serenity Prayer. It is about making that contact. It's about helping me to let go. But it's really something different today. But those things in the beginning are the things that started changing my behavior. And it was not going to happen overnight. So today is something completely different. My prayers are different. I still say things like help. I still say things like protect me. Help me get through this situation. You know, when I was going through the death of my husband, I didn't think I was going to be able to manage or survive that. But I do believe that that was the time I didn't have to pray for it, but I was carried. You know, whether it was God or the higher power, or the powers that be, whatever that force is, I couldn't do it for myself. And the fellowship is what stepped in for me. They brought meetings to my home. They carried me in ways I hadn't thought. And that to me is the prayer in action. My meditations today are different. I don't have a formal meditation. I have tried all of those things. I've tried, you know, going to places to learn how to meditate. I have, you know, read up on meditation. But my meditation today is more about a daily practice that I do. It's when I'm doing something that takes me completely out of myself and my focus is not there. That is my meditation. I do that when I'm doing my quilting. I do that when I'm sitting out in my backyard with the waterfall in the back. I do that when I'm hiking. I do that when I, and in this environment here, you know, of being isolated at home, I've taken up a new Zentangle, it's called. It's a kind of drawing. And the focus, I have to go into myself. And it's just there. And I do believe that that is where God speaks to me. You know, if I had to narrow it down to two things, and I heard some speakers tonight talk about this, the meditation for me is about the gratitude I have to live in. And it's also about being in the moment. All right, so I went downstairs the other day to do some sewing, and I was just kind of in that space. And I have one of those little robot vacuum cleaners. And I heard it go off, and I was downstairs in that
in my sewing room. When I came upstairs, I looked at it, and I live alone. And people that live alone sometimes do talk to themselves, but I said, thank you. I was so grateful that that little thing did my vacuuming for me. I guess this is how I live my life today. It's a simpler life, you know. It's a more mature life. I like those words. It is a more mature. But I know that it's not that I'm having to pray and wait and listen. If I'm not, I'm okay in the moment unless I get nudged. And when I get nudged, I know it's time for me to pay attention. And that is the God's will for me today. I can't pretend to see it any other way. It just is how it is for me. Step 12. Well, you know, that was one I really got wrong when I first came in here, but I was really excited about that because I thought this was going to be pretty cool. You know, this was a program, and I really had no idea that I might be controlling somebody, but I wanted everybody in my family to get this, and I just didn't even think about 1, 2, 3, nothing. I just went straight to 12. And I didn't think of it as being controlling. I just thought this is really good. And so I even think of it this way today, too. There were times when the significant other, we would be at a speaker meeting or what have you, and this is how I thought I was carrying the message. There would be something that was said, and I thought it was really, really powerful, so I gave the nudge, did you hear that? Please hear that. You know, today it's something so entirely different. My spiritual awakening, you know, I did look for burning bushes, and I think I had several things happening all along the way. I don't think this was an event for me. This has been a long process. But I do believe this disease affects people, and it did me, in my perception of how I see things. And through working these steps, I'm able to see things different. Doing my fourth step, that's where I needed the sponsors. That's where I needed the fellowship. That's where I needed the discipline. That's where I needed the tools, so that I could see things differently. And it's also about, you know, today carrying the message is really about showing up. I had a sponsor that said to me one time, you know you're working this step when you're living it in your home life, when you take it out of the meetings. You know, it didn't occur to me. I mean, it didn't occur to me that that was what I needed to do for a long, long time, but I know that's how it is. I know today, it's showing my children how to deal with grief. It's walking through it. That's what it was for me. You know, my oldest daughter, she's grown, has grown children, and what she tells me, Mom, is, Mom, you're showing me how to live. It's not something I planned. It's not something I escaped out, but I couldn't have done it without these steps, and I couldn't have done it alone. And the people I sponsor and my sponsor are the people I go to. I often go to Al-Anon members and reason things out with them. I started a few minutes early, so I'm going to end a minute earlier than my timer has here. But, you know, I just think this is such an awesome opportunity. I don't like speaking in crowds. I don't know that I'll ever like that, but I'm certainly willing to do it. And I thank you for the invite, Claudia. Love you all. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Diane, and I was really honored that Claudia asked me to speak today regarding steps 10, 11, and 12. Getting prepared for today was kind of interesting. One of the first things I did was reread the sponsorship, the bookmark, to remind myself. And there are several things on there that I think for me are really key when I'm working with sponsees. And that's the idea that we're equals and that we both learn from each other's experience, strength, and hope. The piece that talks about confidentiality and anonymity, I think, is really important because I've been in relationships where people share information outside that one-on-one relationship. And so to me, that's really critical that my sponsees know that that's not going to happen. And then another thing is that it's their program, and I learned that from my current sponsor, that I can provide ideas from what my sponsors have taught me in the past and how I worked my steps. But the sponsee needs to know it's their program, and it's really important that they get to pick what literature we work with and how quickly or slowly or whatever for working through it. The other thing I encourage my sponsees to do is to journal. And for me, journaling is really important. I find that I learn a lot about myself from journaling. And with these steps, 10, 11, and 12, journaling is very helpful. My first sponsor taught me that whenever I would start a new page in my journal, I should write "God bless my pen" on the top of the page. And when I see that note, I think about her, but I also remember that it's my higher power working with me to help work things out. So for work in the steps, I generally encourage my sponsees to read, when it's their first time through the steps, to read in the 12 and 12, that particular step, to read in how Al-Anon works on that step. If they like Paths to Recovery, to read that step in Paths to Recovery. And then if they need more, to go back to the daily readers, because there's so much information that you can look up in the index on each step. So specifically step 10, I encourage my sponsees to write or journal each day reviewing their day. And there's some example questions that are in the 12 and 12 that help guide that type of discussion. Those are on pages 63 and 64 if somebody wants to look them up at some point in the future. But it basically has you look back at your day and look at your day and think about the good and the bad. You know, what things did you do well in that day and what things could you have improved on? Also, do you need to make amends for any of your behavior during that day? And if so, how might you make those amends? There's one other really great tool that I like, and that's the Alateen 10-step worksheet. It's really a simplified version of looking at your day, but I love it because it talks about things like, I have a copy in front of me just in case, but it talks about things like temper and being self-centered and did I put others down, and it walks through with very simple questions. And so that is, the piece of literature is S6. And if you use that type of tool or the questions from the other, it can help you in your writing. Because I've been in the program a while, when I review my day now, it's really for me a gut check. And if my gut tells me that there's something I need to work on and I don't know how to work on it, then I'm going to turn to my sponsor or I'm going to turn to somebody else in the program to bounce ideas off of, you know, to reason things out, talk to somebody else, that kind of thing. So step 10, also, I feel like it's an opportunity to heal and grow on a daily basis and to not let things build up or get garbage. So I think that by encouraging sponsees to use their step 10 every day to really think about how things went, it helps them then to be living the steps, right? It builds it into their life. I also think of step 10 as kind of a daily fourth step. So if something, for me, if something really crappy happened, sometimes I'll just go ahead and write it out to try and figure out my part in it. So if a sponsee says to me, oh my gosh, this happened or that happened, and I just don't know how to handle it, I usually encourage them to sit down and write it down. What was your part? Think about it and let them do that writing or thought process without me. And then if they want to bounce it off of me, they can. So that's kind of step 10. What am I doing? Okay. Step 11, prayer and meditation. So I think that The daily readers are really important when it comes to step 11. I encourage my sponsees to use their daily readers. Read one of them, read two of them, read all of them, but definitely use your daily readers, excuse me, because it'll start your day off right. When I first came to the program, my sponsor had me get a prayer partner and encouraged me with that prayer partner to read a daily reader each day. And so I kind of got in the habit of making the daily reader a part of my morning. And I think that's a really good way, especially when a sponsee says that they really don't know how to pray or they don't know how to meditate. Another thing that I encourage them to do is to write out definitions to those words, prayer, meditation, conscious contact. Excuse me. If they're not certain what that looks like. And so meditation, I'm not real good, not consistent about meditation. So I have a little place, a serenity garden in my backyard, and I try and encourage myself to go sit there and quietly listen to God. And I feel like if I'm not doing my prayer and meditation, then it's really hard for me to be encouraging my sponsees to do their prayer and meditation. And remember, every time they get to a step the first time, they're going to read about it in the 12 of 12, they're going to read about it in How Al-Anon Works, and we're going to talk about it. So that kind of gives you the foundation for each step. I've been really fortunate with the people that I've sponsored that they have come from many different faiths and from no faith. So I've had that chance to have those conversations about what does higher power look like, and, gee, I don't want to call my higher power God. And I feel fortunate that I've been exposed to a lot of different people in the program that have given me their ideas so that I'm able to share with my sponsees, you know, how do you pray when you don't think that there's a God? And I like to be able to offer them those ideas so that they know that they can get up in the morning and they can say please, and they can at night close the day by saying thank you, but that they don't have to picture, you know, some old guy sitting in the sky someplace. So anyway, so that's step 11. And then step 12, for me, step 12 is all about service. And so from the minute a sponsee starts working with me, I encourage them to take on service commitments at their meeting, which is kind of hard right now because there's no, you know, greeters or things like that. Setting up chairs, you don't have to do that right now. But definitely providing service is the way to start incorporating step 12 into your everyday. I feel that step 12 is telling us to be that living example. And so by being the living example for others, it starts helping us to incorporate the steps in all our affairs. The other thing that I encourage my sponsees to think about is if they have a person that they can't make amends to, maybe that person has passed on and they're going to write them a letter or something like that, but they can also do living amends. And so step 12 is that living amends, because if they're consciously thinking about how they're working their program and they're making an effort to bring the principles of the program into all aspects of their life, then that's their opportunity to show a living amends. I also feel like it's really the gift of the program that we're trying to share. And you can't like cram it at other people, you just have to show it. So new sponsees, they get really excited and they want, you know, to spread it to everybody. And I remind them that the only way other people are going to learn is if they show it. And so step 12 is kind of like that frosting over all of the steps. It says take all of these steps and show them every day. Be working your other steps so that you're able to share it on a daily basis. And let's see, after working the steps the first time through, then I encourage sponsees to pick whatever literature they want and start working the steps again in that literature. I think that it's, for me, I'm able to share with sponsees and encourage them to take on sponsees because I have found that things that I went through in my life, suddenly now somebody else is in that situation and God's giving me an opportunity to share from my experience, strength, and hope. And so step 12 is having that recognition, having that spiritual awakening, being aware of myself enough to know that, oh my goodness, this person was put in my life so that they could benefit from that hellish experience that I went through, and we can both learn together from it. And so let's see. So in closing, I would just like to mention that in the Light Blue book, As We Understood, on pages 214 and 215, it's a really neat prayer. I like this prayer. I've only known about it for about a year, and now I use it almost every day because it walks you through the steps. And so it's a daily reminder of practicing these principles in all our affairs, because it walks you through the steps and it has you pause and think about, you know, I'm powerless, I don't control others. And so I encourage my sponsees to read that as well. And I don't know how I'm doing on time, but I'm done. So thank you very much for listening. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Diane. That was wonderful. You did great on your time. So next up is Jen. Please unmute yourself, Jen.
There you go. Hi, I'm Jen. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. And I really want to thank you, Claudia, for asking me to do this. This is wonderful. It's kind of step 12. This is how I do step 12. When somebody asks me to speak or do anything, I always say yes. And then I reach out to somebody who's already done it, and then we kind of walk through it together. Just a little bit about myself is I came into the doors of Al-Anon. I was 27 years old and married to an alcoholic who was not coming home and cheating and all sorts of stuff. And the way I was when I came in was I was completely isolated, trying to hold it together by its last straw. And I was also like, I was fearful of suicide. I was afraid that I was going to commit suicide, kind of thing. And so when I got Al-Anon, it was the first time that I sat in a meeting and I was like, I could breathe. And so that's what kept me coming back. And then I got, I dove right in. I was ready for the recovery. And so 23 years ago, that was a long time ago. So thank you for asking me to speak, because this is part of it. So what I do with my sponsors and sponsees, I've had a couple sponsors who I've done different things with. My first sponsor was nice and soft and quiet. And I would go over to her house and we would read a chapter out of a book. And she would tell me her experience and then give me a little bit of homework. And then I got a second sponsor who was at, you know, 4 or 5 meetings a week, was going to do, she did tons of service. And what I did was I tagged along. I picked her because I could tag along. I knew that if I went to a workshop or anywhere, or, you know, the potlucks or anything, that she would be there and I could stand next to her. And so through osmosis, I just took it all in. I just did what she did. So then I was, then I moved and I had a couple of other sponsors. But I do know that the one sponsor from Missouri, every time I called her, I would feel better. And I think that's how the program works. If the first person doesn't make you feel better, call the next one on the line, you know. But every time I talked to her, she would use the program. She would speak the program. And so she acted it and she spoke it. And that's step 12 to me right there. So with that, I was, when my sponsors met with me, I would go to their homes and we would read through a book. I started out with The Paths to Recovery. And then, I got my second sponsor and we started with The Paths to Recovery again. No, that's not true. We started with my favorite book, the Al-Anon 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. Now, The Paths I like, because it's just nice and it lends itself really nicely. But the 12 and 12, the Al-Anon 12 Steps and 12 Traditions was short, simpler, not as wordy for me, and that seemed to work better for me. I just needed succinct. I'm a studier, so the more words you give me, the more I get involved in it. So I needed it short and simple. We also started, my sponsor said, we start at the first page of the book. We open the book, and we read all of the beginning pages. And so I do that with my sponsees, too, is we just open the very first page, then we look at the second page, and we look at the third page. That's how I learned about the legacies, the concepts, the traditions, how Al-Anon works, all of that kind of thing. The message I get from those first few pages of the book is more of we have to, it's a we program and not an I program. So that's how I always start with my sponsors and sponsees. So we go through the 12 steps, like in step 10. We would read the chapter, and she would stop, and she would talk about her life in those pieces, and then I would read a little bit, and then she would stop, and we would talk about a little bit about her life, and then we'd keep going like that. We also never read the personal experiences, the member sharing, too. And those, it was kind of funny. She says, you know what? We're members right here. This is what we need to listen to. You can read those on your own time. It was kind of funny. But it was good because we didn't bring any other people into our little group. It was just us sharing our experience, strength, and hope. And then I personally don't like questions. I don't know why. It just doesn't, I don't know what it is. I just feel like I go yes, no. And I don't create my answers. And so that's just me. That's just how I do it. Sometimes I do use the questions at the end of the chapters to for me as a sponsor to go through, you know, to kind of spark some things in a sponsee to kind of talk about them. But I typically don't like them. But so the step 10 one is continue to take personal inventory. And I also feel that, like, when we're going through the steps, sponsees and as me, I go through the steps all the way up to step 9, and I am just chugging along. And then we get to 10, 11, 12, and I seem to slow down. And so in the first 9 steps, I meet with my sponsees maybe every week. We keep going through it. But when we get to steps 10, 11, and 12, we tend to kind of slow down, take more of the program in, and we only meet like once a month or every other week. It always seems to slow down. I always wait for my sponsee to ask me, when do you want to meet next? I tend not to say, hey, you want to meet next? I might do it once in a while, be like, hey, I'm free next week, you want to meet? But I typically wait for my sponsees to continue with step 10, 11, and 12. One reason is because they've worked so hard and I'm not sure where they are kind of in their program and if they're ready to go and if they really want the program, then I kind of wait for them to do 10, 11, and 12 and keep coming back. I encourage them to keep coming back, but I kind of tend to wait for them to say, hey, I want to work on the next step with you. So step 10, You know, I just tell them kind of what I do. There's days that I do like a short prayer. You know, I say, God, reveal to me what I did today and the things that I need to work on. And then I let it go sometimes, and sometimes it comes in, sometimes it doesn't. But I also tell them about that there's some questions that you can ask yourself. You know, was I resentful today? Was I selfish today? Was I dishonest today? Was I fearful today? That's usually my first one. But was I obsessing about something? Do I have any secrets today that I need to tell somebody? Did I cause harm to anyone? And then, was I kind and loving today? You know, what was my attitudes today? That's another way that I do step 10 for every day. Journaling is another thing that I tell my sponsees. We tend to go through and read through the chapters and then share back and forth. And then I usually I try to give homework a little bit just so that steps 10, 11, 12 feel like you're doing something. And so I tend to tell them to journal something every night, you know, go through, ask yourself questions, do a prayer. I do a feelings check. You know, how am I feeling today? What's going on? And then journal about it, you know, until the next time we meet. I tend to also tell them anytime you're resentful during the day, that is a step 10 too. You know, you need to sit down, stop. What am I resentful for right now? And to kind of clean that up. The next step in step 10 for me is to tell somebody, what's going on. Was I resentful today? Was I fearful today? Was I obsessing today? Because what I try to do is I do that. I ask those questions, but then I try to fix it myself and not white knuckle it through it. So the next step for me in step 10 is to tell a sponsor, tell somebody in Al-Anon. Not your husband, not my mom, not my family members, but I said someone else a little bit more safe. and then I can make my amends. And then that's the piece that that my sponsor helps me with, or somebody else helps me with in the program. You know, I pray, and when I do make that amends, it's kind of, you pray for that guidance. I actually just pray for, give me the opportunity to make an amends, so I don't go running out there and doing it. And every single time it opens it up, we end up in the same room together, no one else is around, and that's when I try to do it. I know it's when it's godlike, it just happens, and I'm like, I never see this person, and I saw them twice today, you know, that kind of thing. So I just kind of pray for the guidance of pushing me towards that amend. Step 11, I meet with my, when I did step 11, we read through it with my sponsor, we did everything, and then she did this thing at the end that kind of blew my mind. And by the way, Melody, I forgot to turn my timer on, so could you just kind of wave at me or something when it gets closer? So when I did step 11, at the end of when I worked with my sponsor, she knelt down and held my hand and we prayed. Look, I'm even getting choked up about it right now. Such a weird thing. And it was, and I don't remember the prayer she said. It probably was something about the third step, guidance, you know, higher power thing. And, but it was so spiritual to me. It filled me up and it made me trust one more person in Al-Anon, you know, and it made me be vulnerable. And, it was a really moving experience. So that was step 11 to me, was I was a religious person. I prayed all the time. I did a lot of that stuff. But for that intimate, vulnerable situation was just completely different than when I went to my churches and all that kind of thing and prayed on my own. She also taught me to tell other people that you don't always have to have the words when you pray. Just to sit and pray and throw the words out, or no words. You know, God knows what the words are and how you're feeling. It's more like I've become willing to surrender when I pray. And so that's kind of the message that I give my higher power when I do that. Meditation, though, is one of my favorite things. So I tend to meditate more than I pray now. So I meditate every morning, and I tell my sponsees all the time how I meditate. sometimes I meditate during the when I'm folding laundry. You know, I'm just like, if I anytime that I focus completely on one small intimate thing in this world is meditating for me. I do that because most people think you have to sit for 30 minutes completely still, don't do anything, clear your mind. But it's more like walking through your day in a calm, peaceful manner and connecting to your higher power. And that's what I love about meditation, is that that's when I build my relationship with my higher power. And that's what I tell my sponsees all the time. And, I just had a sponsee tell me that was like, you know, I just never thought of it that way. You know, it's, I always tell them that my higher power is, he's kind of like a jealous lover. He'll do anything to get close to you. And so, you know, all you gotta do is just sit and wait for it, and he'll be right. He's right there. He's always right there. So my meditation is the books, you know, the daily readers in the morning. It's funny. I look at the date that I buy the daily readers sometimes, and I've had this one for, it seems like forever, you know, 20 years I've had this meditation book, the daily reader, and I have read through it multiple times. I mean, obviously, every single day I've read it, and it just amazes me that I've read the same book for that many years. And each time, I don't even know like what I want to. I don't even remember the readings. That's what's so crazy about it. So that's what I do with the their homework when I for sponsees is that they meditate or they just be quiet for half an hour. They take time for themselves. That's one of the parts that I have, as I said, how many half hours did you get through this week that you were by yourself? Step 12, again, Diane, I was thinking of service work too. That's what I did. I did a little bit of service work when I was in Missouri, but when I got into Arizona, I did a ton of service work. I felt I had a baby, so I was feeling very disconnected from the program and everything else. And all I kept thinking of was one of my sponsors, like, you need to do service work. You need to get connected. You need to participate to get anything out of it. So for my newcomers, I bring them to everything. You know, anytime that I go to someplace, my sponsees come with me. You know, I just invite them. I'm like, let's go. Let's get in the car kind of thing. And I really, really want... When I do step 12, we read through it. I talk about my experiences, and then I say, your homework is to do something at the meeting. You know, volunteer to do something at the meeting. Take a service position. I encourage them all the time. My sponsees always call, and they're like, somebody asked me to sponsor them. And I go, you said yes, right? And she's like, I'm only on step 5. And I'm like, yep, that's okay. I said, I'm right here. You know, now you got to work ahead than your sponsee. I said, you got to keep going. That's one way it works. You just keep going because somebody else is behind you coming. I go back to the meetings because of the newcomers. I love the newcomers. I love giving them hugs and talking to them and listening to them. That was my favorite. That's one of my favorite things to do. And so I practice this program to guard from the confusion that I can get into. And step 12 to me was you give by your presence, and all you have to do is sit there and give encouragement. That's step 12 to me. And that's it. It seems so simple to me. So I just teach them never to say no. I said, and it's always good because you can say yes, and then if life gets crazy, you can always say, I'm sorry, I can't do this right now. And that is a life lesson for me, for sponsees too, is that you can do service work, but you can always get out of it. It's not a forever thing. And that was a really big thing for me to learn when I came into the program. So I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. I really enjoyed that. So our next step is Cherie. Please unmute yourself, Cherie.
Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Cherie. And I'm from Washington State, and I just want to thank Diane and Jen for your shares this morning. I am definitely one of those people that I take notes on everything, and so you guys are helping me fill my journal this morning, so I appreciate your shares. And I also want to thank Claudia and Michelle for inviting me. Michelle has just been diligent keeping track of when I'm going to make sure that my dates are correct and all of that. And I appreciate it. I'm very appreciative. Just a little bit of background that will quickly explain why these steps are so important to me is I grew up in a home that was affected by alcoholism. I was married 10 years to an addict that there was an extreme amount of violence and emotional abuse in that relationship. I was only able to get out of that because of the court systems and because he was convicted of assault. And, you know, immediately jumped into a relationship with an alcoholic, because he needed me. And he had two little girls and I had a little boy and a girl, and, we quickly, dove into our disease, both of us, and, got married. And about 3 months after we got married, I was introduced to Al-Anon, and, he was 12 steps into Alcoholics Anonymous. So I will share that it took me a little while to understand the importance of working these steps for myself. And I'm so grateful for God's timing in everything. You know, what I share this morning is just my experience, strength, and hope, and this is how I try to encourage the members that I sponsor. And I sponsor women only, and it's just an agreement that my husband and I have together. So he sponsors men only, I sponsor women, and it keeps controversy out of our relationship. But I'm just going to, you know, just share how I encourage my sponsees to grow in recovery, you know, like I did. My first sponsor did not do a lot of use the books a lot. We actually sat, I went to her house every Wednesday at 11 o'clock, and we sat and we listened to speaker tapes. And one of the main speakers I heard sort of growing up in Al-Anon was Mary Pearl. And we went through all the steps listening to hers. And my first piece of literature that she asked me to read was actually the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So she was not, she didn't utilize the Al-Anon literature that we have very much. I appreciate that perspective, and I know that's not normal, but that was what my first sponsor did. But after I did those 12 steps with her, I knew I needed more, and I wanted more, and I wanted to continue to learn, and so, she encouraged me to find somebody to do step work with, and I found that second sponsor, and oh my gosh, she used every piece of literature that has ever been printed. And I'm so grateful for the diversity of both of those opportunities to work steps. So some of us come into Al-Anon with some baggage. That's pretty common. I came in as a train wreck. I had a luggage cart full of baggage, and I'm so grateful that through my experience with my sponsors, I've been able to work through those steps. So by the time I get to step 10, I have worked diligently on my inventory, addressed my shortcomings, and in that steps 8 and 9, I'm trying to amend my attitudes. I've done formal amends where I've done those sit-downs and made apologies and addressed my behavior with my loved ones. But for me, step 9 specifically is really trying to change my attitude, asking my higher power to help me do life better. We call it better living with editing is really what it is. And that's who I want to be. I don't want to be who I used to be because that hurt the people that I love, and it hurt me. And so I want to be somebody else. And my sponsors have helped me to see, and my higher power has pushed me and stretched me. So that I can be somebody different today. And I'm so grateful for that. So here I am at step 10. And by the time I get here, you know, I'm focusing on different character traits. And, you know, in the back of the Blueprint for Progress, there is a list, it's a chart basically of our shortcomings on one side and our assets on the other, qualities you might say. And my last sponsor, she actually gave me a sheet. It was printed in the 70s, and I go off of that sheet, and I use that sheet with my sponsees. It's just those same character traits that's out of the Blueprint for Progress. That's where it came from. And we focus on the asset side. What are those qualities that I really want to be? So instead of being judgmental and critical, you know, I am focusing on other words, the opposite, the asset side, where I'm trying to be compassionate and understanding, loving, I'm trying to practice boundaries with detachment, and just do it differently than how I used to do it. Sometimes, I will say, by the time we get to step 10, and I need to, I might need to take another inventory look. I need to take another look, an in-depth look at maybe a relationship that I'm struggling with. And I do this quite often with my sponsees as well, that if there's a family member that they're struggling with, we're going to go back and we're going to write and we're going to use steps 4 through 9 just on that person or maybe just on that event, whatever it may be. And we'll work through the steps 4 through 9 in about an hour, hour and a half. And by the time we get to 9, the goal is, okay, I've got a solution now. I'm going to focus on how to do and understand and look at this person differently. I have a change of attitude. And if I can change my attitude of God, with God's help, I can't do it myself. But if my attitude changes, then my behavior changes. And that's where the amends come in. I change the course, the direction of how I'm looking at somebody. And then I have a better opportunity to behave better because I'm thinking differently. I will say some of the pieces of literature that I use on a step 10 as we do continued inventory, because to me it's a continuous process. I've heard steps 10, 11, and 12 described as maintenance steps, and I don't. They're my growing steps for me. I don't want to maintain my recovery right where I was. I want to keep going. Because life is still in session, and I still got people in my life, and I need to behave better than I used to, even yesterday. So, and there's a line in As We Understood that says, knowledge without action is fiction. So if I know that I need to do better, then I need to actually take a step and try to do that. So the literature I might go back through with sponsees, it was mentioned that Alateen checklist. I think it's phenomenal. I love the Alateen bookmark just for today because it says, you know, did I treat others nicely? Did I get my homework done? Right? It's just, I need simple stuff like that some days. Sometimes days are just overwhelming and I just need a little bit more simple, basic stuff. Did I get my stuff done today that was a priority, whatever it may be? And then the same thing for the Just for Tonight bookmark, you know, how am I doing with fear? How am I doing with my attitudes? The path to recovery, there's some great stuff throughout the whole entire book, but you know, in step 4, it talks about the 4 M's, and I might do just a spot inventory on the 4 M's. How am I doing with mothering and managing and manipulation and martyrdom? You know, is there anything I need to address for myself? And then I'll have sponsees do the same thing. Where are you guys at with that? The 6 P's, it's in the step 6 in path to recovery on page 67, and it has the 6 P's, and I'll just let you guys P as in Paul, and I'll just let you go and look at those. But I can take each one of those letters or those words and just journal them down and how am I doing with that? And then I love what challenges me is when my sponsees do the same. And then my favorite, and this is how I work step 1, I take the pamphlet Understanding Ourselves and Alcoholism. And in that pamphlet, it's in our newcomer packet. So it's a great way for somebody who's new and hasn't bought literature yet but wants to work a step 1. There's 5 things. How is my obsession? Where's my anger? Where's my anxiety level today? My feelings of guilt and then denial. And I'm always in denial about my denial. And so a really great spot check inventory for me is, you know, just focusing on those 5 words that's in that pamphlet. How am I doing? It keeps me current. What's relevant today that I need to focus on? And then I get into 11. And for me, I was taught about the awareness of God's presence. And in my higher power, as I understand, I call God. And I was taught to be aware of God's presence, to be expectant where God shows up in my life. Not to have expectations, but be positive, to look for where the answers are going to be. Because this step encourages me to take an action. Again, it's an action step. praying only, like the only, I have to underline it and highlight it in my book, only for knowledge and only for power to carry it out. That's it. That's all I need to pray for. And then what does that look like? And I am a girl that lives in a lot of fear. And so I get caught up and the movie starts in my head and I get to the end of the movie. You know, it starts out like this, that it's a comedy in the beginning. You know, it's a family Hallmark movie and it's a comedy and everybody is great. And then it gets a little bit scarier and it might come into a dramatic movie. And by the end of it, it's a horror flick. You know, that's where my head goes. So I have to, 11 is, it used, you know, I used to say it was my most favorite step, but they're all my favorite depending on where I'm at in life. And so I need to be aware of that. So this is what I do. I can do, and I do choose to encourage, you know, that quiet time. But what I have found in my experience in Al-Anon is that the message, you know, that knowledge that comes from my higher power can come in a variety of forms. It might be words in a song that's on the radio. It might be in the literature that it just popped out. Like, it's a page I've highlighted 10 million times. But that moment, that day, all of a sudden, it's just, you know, super bold, you know, and it's what I needed to hear exactly. The newcomer in the meeting, I got to tell you, the newcomers, they give me aha moments all the time. I love when our newer members share. And I know they are hesitant sometimes, but, man, they challenge me. And I just appreciate that so much. Speakers, when, you know, listening to other speakers, and especially members from Alcoholics Anonymous. I grew up, my early couple of years, I went to a lot of AA meetings, more than I did Al-Anon. And so listening to members share in Alcoholics Anonymous gave me a better insight and better understanding of my loved one, of my husband, because I didn't really buy him, but I believe them. And so that helped me a little bit better. And then here's the crazy thing, Netflix. There, I had one of my biggest aha moments from Netflix, and I won't tell you the show, but there was a show, and one of the characters said, fear is fiction. Just those three words, fear is fiction. And that's what my head does. I get to the end of the movie, and it's a horror. It's all made up. None of it's happened. It never really ever does happen. But that's where I go. And then there's step 12, which I think is, for me, it's about giving back. We give when we get. And boy, man, if you, my sponsees will tell you that they get voluntold a lot. I don't tell them. I encourage lovingly and with a lot of enthusiasm because I want them to participate and get the benefits of Al-Anon like the way that I have. I am so full of gratitude by the time I've gotten to this point that I just want to give back. I'll never be able to give back to others what Al-Anon has given me. There's just, that cup's never going to get full. I'm never going to arrive. But I carry the message, and that's important. And I'll ask my sponsees to go with me, right? And we'll go into treatment centers, and we speak to the family members. And that's important because that's where I heard Al-Anon. And so going to those treatment centers and talking to family members about alcoholism and how I'm affected by it, and then my sponsees get a chance to share a little bit about their story and what Al-Anon's done for them. And then public outreach is big. What am I doing? Especially nowadays, we're just so limited on how we can get that message out. So how am I able to get the message or just the information out about Al-Anon family groups? It's all about participating and creating opportunities. I encourage my sponsees to share. We have two speaker meetings in my community, and so the groups take turns hosting the speaker meeting, and I encourage my sponsees to share their story. And, of course, they're freaked out. They're scared. They have 42 pages of notes, you know, that they're just going to share everything, and we go over it, and my job is just to encourage them, you know, that God's going to give them the words, and they'll figure it out. That 12-step about practicing principles in all our affairs is, for me, it's just practice. I stop trying to be perfect or to perfect these steps. I just try to practice. And with my loved ones, I get lots of opportunities. I have six kids. Four of them are almost married. Three of them are married. One's getting married soon. I got two grandbabies being born this summer. I have a daughter that is 19 years old that's homeless, pregnant, and practicing her disease right now. So I need you. I need these steps. I need these principles. And the last thing I wanted to share is that for me to progress and to grow, I need to study traditions, and I need to be in the concepts. And I, by the time we get to step 10, I am actively taking my sponsees into the traditions because the traditions for me are behavior guidelines. How can I behave better with the people that I love or that I work with or that I'm in service with? And then the concepts to me are that little undiscovered treasure, you know, and I'm just growing continuously. My time is up. I appreciate the opportunity to share. Thank you.
Thank you to our speakers for sharing. We will now close with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.